Just one little thing about what we were discussing last week. And what we said was that the soul will find its place. It is left to itself to go and roam, whether in the paradise or in the hell or in the area in the middle, to find the cluster of souls which is more suitable and conformant with their own proclivities. Now, one thing is very important here, and that is the freedom of choice increases in Barzakh. Why? Because here we have an interior, we have an exterior. We have inclinations, tendencies inside us that we somehow rein it and restrict it because of certain bonds that we have socially with each other. And we want to appear good to others. We want to show that, manifest a good face to other people. And therefore, our freedom of choice is restricted in this world because of these things. Now, remember, we said that the soul initially, as Swedenborg did put it, initially when it enters the Barzakh, it is still used to this sort of pretense of the exterior, but gradually it cannot help it. The interior would overwhelm him or her. And therefore, the soul acts according to its tendencies, to its inner inclinations. And gradually, nothing can restrain it. The exterior is not important anymore. And gradually, as the interior changes, the interior shows itself, it doesn't change, shows itself, the exterior would change, the face would change, the tone would change, the type of words they use would change. And they act absolutely according to their shakala, to what they have created for themselves. Now, this is somehow terrifying, because that means there is no way out of what we have built ourselves in this world. I mean, sometimes we think that it's God who punishes and rewards. That's a relieving thing, isn't it? Because then we say, okay, God is merciful, we have lots of sins, he will forgive us. But if we think that it is us who create all these things, then we would see how much we are in need of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we think of mercy as Allah wants to punish, he doesn't punish. That's not the case. We act according to our inner soul, whatever is inside our soul, and Allah has somehow to stop us being punished by our own acts. إِنَّ هَذَا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. This is what you used to do. Allah has to stop it. Allah has to compensate for it, to cover it. And that's why everyone would feel that mercy. When we go there, we say, oh Allah, this is what we have actually produced. Now, what you want to do with us? And yes, of course, that mercy will come. But it will come gradually. We have to go through a process for that mercy to cover us. And then Shafa'a would find big, huge meaning when we go to the very final stages of this unfolding of the inner qualities of the soul. Shafa'a is very, very important. If there is no Shafa'a, none of us could get into those higher places which are predicted for the mu'minun. Of course, those who have gone into paradise of Barzakh, they have no fear. This is for the middle people. And one other thing that I want to ask you. It's the inner tendencies of the soul which would determine which way we have to go and which place we have to be placed in Barzakh. What about acts? the acts that we have performed. Now, we have some tendencies, but we somehow stop ourselves from manifesting those tendencies in this world by controlling ourselves. We do not act according to it. Or we force ourselves to do something against what we tend inside. So which one is more important, the actions that we do in this world or the type of tendency that we have created inside us? Now, of course, the Quran says, the traditions mention, and Swedenborg says that I have seen this. If a tendency is not acted upon in this world, it would not manifest itself in that world. It's very important. Now, I'm amazed how Swedenborg, who is a Christian, who is more inclined towards just mercy of God rather than actions, have seen this. This is more in line with our Islamic teachings than Christian teachings. That unless you have manifested your tendencies in some action, it would not show itself in the next world. And this is what Swedenborg says that I have seen. Tendencies which have not been acted upon, whether good or evil. You have good tendencies, but you haven't manifested them in action. It is just like a sort of not materialized capital. That capital has not been materialized, has not been invested in anything. And therefore, it would not influence the situation of the soul. And this is why action is very important. And always in the Quran we see, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Iman without amal salih would not show itself in that world. Now, let's come to our topic this week, the topography of Barzakh. By this, I mean what sort of geography we are talking about in Barzakh. Now, when I talk about geography, don't think of it as a physical thing. Although when you are there, you think there are directions and the vast expanse of fields, gardens, and everything. However, there is one other dimension to this which makes it very different from our physical dimension here. And that is why in Barzakh you do not have distances like what we have in this world, or boundaries like what we have in this world. But if we want to explain it, we explain it in our own understanding of boundaries and geography and topography, whatever you may call it. Now, first of all, we said that there are gardens in Barzakh. The grave turns into a garden. What do we mean by that? These gardens, which then I will say where these gardens are situated to talk about the topography. These gardens are not just like forests or, say, for example, a vast meadow that people go and graze there. No. It is like a very tailor-made landscape which fits and is very, very conformant to the tendencies and taste of every soul. Actually, every garden is tailor-made by God for the soul who owns it. For the soul, and therefore these gardens are very, very different from each other. When you enter one garden that belongs to, for example, Taqi, you see that that garden is very much different from the garden of Hassan, for example, or the garden of Shaista, for example. Very, very different. Because they are tailor-made according to the tastes of these souls. These are vast expanses. The area, the geographical area, and the expanse of these gardens are not something that we can imagine. So huge that you cannot actually go to the end of it. And bespoken landscapes, as I said, is tailor-made, these landscapes, according to the taste of every soul, and palaces and mansions. So, as I said, it's not just like a forest. In this huge landscape, there are palaces and mansions, and, well, you may say, are you imagining all these things? No, I'm not imagining. These are what we have in our traditions. And again, you may say, why are you so much fond of Swedenborg? Because he says things that we find in traditions. It supports it. He says, I saw these things. I saw these palaces, mansions, the candlesticks that they were there, that I cannot describe how they looked like. And also, in each mansion, there are thousands of rooms, which I don't know what they want to do with these huge places, and what, well, they have lots of time to go and explore what are in these palaces. Luxurious furniture in rooms and lounges, which is again not possible for us to explain. This morning someone, this afternoon actually, someone came to me, and he said that he's an old man, about 80 years old. And he is gradually losing his ability to control his limbs, tongue. He was asking a question, when I'm reciting, I cannot recite properly anymore, so what should I do? Because my tongue doesn't help me. I cannot afford reciting. And then I told him something. He said, I was in Karbala, actually, a few months ago. And as soon as I arrived in Karbala, I became very ill. I was taken to hospital. 3 days I was in hospital. I cried. I said, Ya Imam Hussein, I've come here to visit you and your father, and now I'm here in the hospital. And in that situation, I slept. Then I saw someone came to me, and he took me to a place. He opened the door. It was a garden like paradise. And this is very interesting. He said, nothing that I saw, I can explain, I can describe. It's not possible. We haven't those things in this world. It's not possible to describe. And this person, or whoever it was, angel, person, soul, whatever, he told me, or she told me, we don't know whether it was he or she, that he told me that, do you want to stay here or do you want to go back? I said, my wife is very ill. She cannot walk. I have to cook for her. I have to look after her. And he himself is very ill, and the wife is more ill than him. And he said, I want to go and look after her. I can't leave her alone. And that person told me, okay, you go back. Whenever you are tired of your life, just tell, Allahumma at'abtu min al-hayat. Oh God, I am tired of life. And I will come and take you and bring you here. And he said, then the next morning, I was quite healthy. I went to Ziyara and everything. So he came back. Now, the story is not important. The way he was telling it, and he was not telling any lie, of course, that nothing which was there, I can describe. Because we don't have those concepts. Something, even if we see colors, fruits, or whatever, it's not something that we can describe in this world. And this is what Swedenborg emphasizes very much, that it's not something that you can describe. It's very different in type, in quality. So when we talk about luxurious furniture and rooms and lounges, of course, according to our understanding of what is in this world. Now, you may say, why God should give all these things to free to people? Well, because this is his nature. His nature is to give. And, وَلَقَدْ أَلَمْتُمُ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُولَىٰ فَلَوْلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. You have seen this life. Why don't you take lessons? Why did God give you eyes, ears, mind, heart? Why did he give it to you? Free. Well, this is his habit. This is his nature. And all these things could be, of course, given by God to anyone who can claim it. Not to anyone he wishes, of course, Of course, everything depends on his wish, but to anyone who can take it and claim it. Innumerable number of servants with inner and outer beauty, with no purpose but to serve their masters. Now, these servants are made of soul's actions, and therefore they are very much dependent on the person who lives there. And they have a deep affection that the whole purpose of their life is to serve these people. Just like Allah has created us, our whole purpose, if we are mindful and if we are not ignorant, is just to serve Him and worship Him. And these servants who are created there have no aim and no purpose but to serve. And now, usually in this world, when we have these things, we say, well, why should we need God? We forget about God. And that's why we are told in this world not to pay much attention to these luxuries and wealth and these things, because these take our attention away from God, make us arrogant usually. Exceptional people are not influenced by these things. So these things make us arrogant, make us to divert our attention from God, occupation of mind, and all these things. So it is absolutely the opposite there. Now, whether in Barzakh or in Paradise. Why? Because there your attention cannot be diverted from God. Because He is the center. You can see Him everywhere, so to speak. And therefore, all these things would only add to your love towards God, because you see these as just a manifestation of beauty of God, beauty of your own soul and beauty of God. You see it as a manifestation. So the more you use and the more you have, the stronger your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deeper your knowledge of Him, because you see all these things as different corners and turns of asma and sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more you have of these in Paradise, whether in Barzakh or in hereafter, the stronger your love will become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those pleasures. You see, sometimes we say, well, why should we need those pleasures? We are told not to have pleasures in this world. Why in Paradise Allah always talks about those pleasures? Because the function is exactly opposite there. It serves a different function here and a totally different function there. So all these things would strengthen the love for God. And on the contrary, what people experience in hell does not strengthen the hatred, just keeps them away from experiencing the beauties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. The other thing that you will see there, inshallah, soon, abundance. Abundance which would amaze you. Why so much? The plentifulness of everything that you will experience there. Accessibility of whatever you wish and whatever you want. Ease of commuting and communication. Just you think of someone and you can communicate with them. You think of somewhere and you will be there. So ease of communication, ease of travel, traveling, of course, there are means of travel as well, depending on people's status, marriage and love, but no reproduction there. Again, this marriage and love serves as something which strengthens the love for Allah there, whether in Barzakh or in Paradise. Now, question. What is the difference between these gardens and the gardens of Paradise? Because whatever we are told in traditions, they look very much similar. I mean, the things that are given in this Paradise of Barzakh to Mu'minun, very much similar to what we are described about the Ni'mah in Paradise. Anyone knows what is the difference? Yes. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What you experience there is just a shadow of pleasure. It's not pleasure itself yet. You have not yet met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just a shadow of it. It's just a reflection of the rays of what you are going to receive in Paradise, inshallah. The hadith talks about visits as well. People not only live in their mansions, well, everyone have their own mansions and gardens and palaces, which is actually the barzakhi manifestation of that hole in which they are buried, so to speak. Now, they don't just stay there. They go and visit each other as well. Maybe every night there's a party in one of these mansions and people would join and enjoy company. Of course, food and other things are available everywhere, but the company is what they want to enjoy by these visits. And this company is very important and very enjoyable. Now, look at the tradition in Al-Kafi, يَأْكُلُونَ مِنْ تَعَامِهَا وَيَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ شَرَابِهَا وَيَتَزَعَوَرُونَ فِيهَا. They eat from the food which is there. They drink from the drinks which are there. And they meet each other. They visit each other. يَتَزَاوَرُونَ فِيهَا. So not always they gather in one place. They go to each other's gardens and meet and visit each other. Okay, now after we have learned about these gardens, let's see where these gardens are situated. Get a sketchy view of how the different continents of Barzakh, so to speak, are situated. Of course, it is very difficult to outline the geography because the diversity is so huge, it's very difficult to explain. But in the simplest way, it can be divided into three main territories. And each of these territories, of course, have their own boundaries, their own inner divisions. So we can talk about territory of the righteous and territory of the, what I call, sleepwalkers, the middle range people. Why I call them sleepwalkers? Because their life is something between sleep and wakefulness. They are not awake totally, and they are not asleep. Their life is somewhere in the middle, and that's why I call it the area or the territory of the sleepwalkers. Of course, their life is much stronger than our lives, but still compared to people in the territory of the righteous, they look as they are walking in sleep. They don't realize things yet. And then we have the territory of the evil ones, which inshallah, none of you would see and would experience. These three territories are like three different continents. As I said, don't take it geographically as we understand in this world. Absolutely separated from each other, the three territories. So, as we talk about different worlds, the first world, the second world, the third world, not in the sense that we are using it in this world, of course. We have different worlds there. And people of every world, except those at the very top, are unaware of the life of the people of other worlds. They may see, but they do not share the experience of these different territories. The boundaries of these territories are inner rather than outer, and dimensional rather than geographical. The boundaries are determined by your inner attitude. Depending on what your inner attitude is, you are placed in a certain country, so to speak. So, as soon as the inner attitude changes, you change place, you change country. But it does not happen usually. For the middle people, it is possible. The sleepwalkers, if their inner attitude changes, they suddenly find themselves in either the evil place or the good place. But usually people are would remain and linger in their original place. And of course, just like, for example, here we talk about Barzakh. Where is Barzakh? Barzakh is here, but another dimension. When we go, our souls does not go anywhere else. It's just here, but in another dimension. This is how these territories are separated from each other. These are dimensions rather than geographical boundaries. And the place you are situated depends very much on the direction to which the soul turns. And this, of course, is not in your hand anymore. After you have created your shakala, your soul turns either towards God or away from God. So if the direction of soul is towards God, you are situated in a better territory. If it's turned against God, then that is dullness and depression and pain and agony. This is where the soul, when the soul is deviated from the direction of God. Now, the territory of the righteous is in turn divided to two territories. One is the territory of the close ones, al-muqarrabun. And then the territory of the pious ones, al-abrar. This is where, inshallah, we hope to go, all of us. The second territory of the righteous in Barzakh. And if you enter this territory, you have assurance that you go to paradise at the end. You are not worried about anything. Of course, the top ones, the close ones, it's very ambitious to think about it for us. I'll tell you why it's very ambitious. We cannot think about that territory at all. So that's a different territory. But this one, with the mercy of Allah and with the help of the angels and the Muqarrabun, it is possible for most of us, inshallah, to enter into this territory and do not remain in limbo, in that middle range, the area of the sleepwalkers. And then until the day of judgment, we don't know what will happen to us. We are in fear and hope. وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لَأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذَّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. These are just postponed, the decision for them. And their decision depends on Allah's will. He either punishes them or will forgive them. It is not good to go in that area. It's very bad. I don't talk about the area of the evil ones, because they certainly know they go to hell. But this middle range is not something that we wish to go. The territory of the close ones is not our ambition. This, the territory of Abrar, which is a part of the territory of the righteous. This is where we hope, inshallah, to go with the mercy of God. What makes the two different is the nature of their worship. The two, the close ones and the pious ones. The nature of the worship is different. One is based on love, the other is based on faith. And this actually makes the souls immensely different. The soul whose worship is based on love is actually open to every grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The soul whose worship is based on faith, although is open to grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are hurdles. So it stops. It falls short of reaching that status of the close ones whose worship is based on love. So therefore, their paradise, or their garden, their territory, is a more inner type of feeling from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which cannot be understood by the people in the second territory. So, in the same way that in this world we cannot understand how a prophet or an imam feels or thinks, in Barzakh as well we cannot understand. So we are differentiated from each other. Now the close ones are characterized by love for God and humiliation for themselves. And these are the two main features which opens the doors of the soul to grace. If you are not humiliated in your own self, if you are not humble in your own soul, then there is this arrogance which bars the grace of God to come in. You think you are separate from God. You think you are someone and God is someone else. And then, of course, that affects your love and everything, because then you have a different wish from wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this would stop you to receive that grace in its totality. But for them, since their soul is absolutely humiliated in their eyes, they think of themselves as nothing, and they are filled with love of Allah, so they receive the grace incessantly and without any obstacle. And this makes their paradise. This makes their place where they live. These two qualities open the way for the grace of God and removes all the obstacles, as I said. By this they are taught the secrets that cannot be unveiled for others. Again, I would like to mention Swedenborg, because Swedenborg says these people, I never could understand them. Their wisdom excels our understanding. Their wisdom excels the understanding. That no matter how they try to tell us things, we cannot understand it. And that is why they are placed in the higher places of paradise. Therefore, their barzakh is interiorly oriented. Things come from, gushes out from their soul and creates things around them. And then other people may actually use the products of their souls. because they are the vessels which receive the grace and pours it out. All beauty gushes out from their interior, and it can only be experienced by others after it has become exterior. Their exterior is what the people of the lower territory of the righteous would see and would experience. Some of the aggregates have actually explained this verse or these verses from Surah Ad-Dahr in this way: Inna al-abrar, abrar just the pious one, yashrabuna min ka'asin kana mizajuha kafura. Indeed, the pious will drink from a cup seasoned with camphor. What is this cup filled of? A spring where the servants of Allah drink, which they make to gush forth as they please. Ibadullah. Ibadullah are the close ones. So the abrar would take goblets of a drink which is taken from a spring which is gushed out, because in the way the muqarrabun wants it. So they actually make these springs to flow from their interior, and then the abrar would drink from it. So things after have become exterior, and it's amazing, just like this world. You cannot understand the guidance or the experience of the prophets, the inner experience, unless they have spoken it to you and it has become exterior. And in that way, you never, of course, get the depth of what they say or what they feel or what they experience. When they say Subhanallah, it's very different from when we say Subhanallah. It's, of course, they are the knowledgeable ones. Subhanallah amma yasifun illa ibadallahil mukhlaseen. Allah is pure from whatever they describe, except those who are purified. They know the secrets. Whatever they say would become the basis for other people's worship and knowledge. So, it's the same thing there. It pours from the higher paradise or garden to the lower territory of the abrar. Inshallah, it's in this way. It's all analysis. These are the wealthiest in terms of wisdom, intelligence, comprehension of the secrets, in addition to the exterior supremacy. So, as I said, nothing can excel their wisdom. Even the angels cannot grasp the depth of the wisdom and intelligence given to these people. How has it been prepared for them or given to them? Through love and self-humiliation. These are the two things. If you have them, you have everything. If you don't have them, you have nothing. That is the final word. Now, of course, if you have faith, you have something. Love and faith are different levels of relationship with God. Now, their territory is therefore the upper barzakh of the righteous. So we talk about the upper barzakh of the righteous and lower barzakh of the righteous. The upper barzakh of the righteous is for the close ones, al-muqarrabun. The lower barzakh is for the pious, al-abrar. And as I said, anyone entering that would have no fear at all, no matter it's in the upper or the lower. This territory is called what? Is called what? Wadi Salam, the place of security. This is the place of security. If you enter it, you are secure. No fear anymore. Whether in the upper or the lower. And that's why For example, we have in hadith that no mu'min dies except Allah would take his or her soul to Wadi Salam. This is called Wadi Salam. Wadi Salam is a barzakh territory. It's not this world's territory. It's a territory of barzakh. Now, these righteous ones, the upper ones of course, Muqarrabun, they can move to all territories. And, well, you can imagine, wherever they go, they take with them the splendor and majesty which is attached to them. What is that splendor and majesty? Isn't it the case that all majesty belongs to God? So why they should have majesty? Because that's the majesty of God they carry. Because they have no self and they are full of love. So wherever they go, you would see the glory and majesty. You feel, you see the light of majesty of Allah wherever they are. As I said, there are kings there. But kings which are not, of course, characterized by what kings in this world have. Selfishness, egoism, arrogance. No, they are kings of humiliation and love. That is what makes them kings. And then this would attach to them the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever they go. You see, for example, some people say that dream of their relatives who have passed away. They said, for example, last night someone came here, Imam Hussein or anyone, Jesus for Christians, and then the whole cemetery was full of light. This is the majesty that they carry with themselves wherever they go. Okay, I answered the question, sorry. Where does their majesty come from? Of course, it comes from Allah, the majesty. Now, the pious ones. Should we carry on? We have two slides, so if you allow me, we carry on. And maybe questions, we leave it for later or a few minutes. The pious ones are people of faith and obedience, as I said, not love and humiliation. Of course, all of us have some humbleness in us, some love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this is not complete. If it becomes complete, then we come from Muqarrab, part of Muqarrabun. So what is important for us to actually save us is faith and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are people of faith and obedience. However, continuous remembrance of God did not become their habit in this world. And continuous remembrance of God, of course, is a product of love for God. And, of course, love for God brings continuous remembrance. Continuous remembrance enforces love. These are not the type of people. However, they were people of faith, obedience to Allah, submission to Him. This is what makes Abrar to be the Abrar. Therefore, their worship was out of faith rather than out of love. And this quality of their worship impairs them or their inner ability for full reception of grace. And they therefore live in the lower barzakh of the righteous. As I said, still it's a place of security. Still it is a huge, huge success if anyone can get there after death. The close ones can go to this lower barzakh whenever they wish, but the pious cannot go to the upper barzakh except by invitation. It is just the most glorious, the sweetest experience for these people to sometimes be invited to that territory and hosted by
one of the members, one of the people living in that territory of Barzakh. And when these people of higher Barzakh come here, it's again an unforgettable experience. It's just like king coming to your house. It's just like that. Because wherever they go, as I said, they take the majesty and they take the grace. And this grace has the long-last impact on the lives of those who are somehow in contact with these people who are full of majesty. Majestic people, so to speak. The visit of the lower Barzakh of the righteous by the inhabitants of the upper Barzakh is an unforgettable event, as I said. Now, of course, each of these territories are divided into regions, cities, and neighborhoods. And again, they are very different from each other. As we are very different from each other, as the Anbiya are very different from each other, as the Abrar are different from each other, these cities, neighborhoods, regions are different from each other. And the inhabitants of each territory can visit each other and learn from each other's experience. When you see the palace of your neighbor there, you learn things about God that you didn't know before. That is what makes this relationship very sweet and something which continuously teach you things about God and His beauty. This would add to their wisdom. This is the most important thing. As I said, paradise is a place of wisdom. It's only the ignorant who are arrogant. And it's only the arrogant who are far away from paradise. And therefore, the more wisdom you have, the closer and the higher you go in your places of paradise. Now, you may contemplate and think why wisdom is so important there. Wisdom and knowledge. Because, of course, these are the things by which you can know God's secrets. And the more you know, the higher you are ranked. The territories of the close ones and of the pious ones together are called, as I said, Wadi Salam. This is the place of security. As soon as you enter it, you are safe and secure. The hadith, again in Al-Kafi, أَمَا إِنَّهُ لَا يَبْقَى مُؤْمِنٌ فِي شَرْقِ الْأَرْضِ وَغَرْبَهَا إِلَّا خَشَرَ اللَّهُ رُوحَهُ إِلَى وَادِ السَّلَامِ. There is no mu'min in the east of the earth or west unless Allah will gather and take their souls to Wadi Salam, to the place of security. And then the Imam says, Ama inni ka'anni bihim hilaqun hilaqun qu'udun yatahaddathun. It is as if I'm now seeing them. They are sitting around each other in circles and they are talking to each other. And as I said, this company is very, very important and pleasurable for them. And now I want you to tell me, what does this mean? وَإِنَّهَا وَادِ السَّلَامِ لَبُقْعَةٌ مِنْ جَنَّةِ عَادٍ. It is a piece of the paradise. جَنَّةُ عَادٍ is paradise. What does it mean? Now, the Prophet said, مَا بَيْنَ قَبْرِي وَمِنْبَرِي رَوْضَةٌ مِنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ. The place between my qabr and minbar is a garden of gardens of paradise. This means paradise of barzakh. The grave of every mu'min is a garden of paradise, paradise of barzakh. Now, exactly in the same way that grave, this very dull place, when you look at it from the barzakh side, is huge and beautiful garden. These gardens, when you look at it from the paradise side, from this side they are very dull compared to what you have in paradise. Then these are pieces of the
eternal paradise of hereafter.
Okay, 5 minutes for questions and answers, inshallah. Who wants to die sooner? I wanted to tell this old man, why didn't you say I want to stay here? Why did you come back? But then when he said, because I had to look after my wife, I said, well, this is a wisdom, of course, that he had. He didn't come back for any pleasure or any ambition of life, because an 80-year-old man wouldn't have ambitions. But he came for a very good cause. And this, inshallah, would elevate. I told him this would elevate your degrees there, inshallah. Okay. I said this is a specific type of attachment. The attachment is that that grave is actually made into your house. So where the body is your palaces and your gardens and everything. There is a sort of strange attachment which, of course, we cannot really explore the depth of it. But we know that every soul feels and thinks that where the body is home. However, that home may be very glorious and splendid, and it may be part of the hell in paradise, in barzakh. Yes? Yes, if you go to Baharul Anwar, Allama Majlisi has gathered all these traditions about Barzakh in one place. And this is the good thing about Baharul Anwar. You can see all the traditions from different books, whether reliable ones or unreliable ones. You can see all of them in one place. Yeah. Yes. No. Regret means you are not enjoying yourself, isn't it? So the regret is taken away from you. No. You are content with what you have. The problem with us in this world, even if we are content in this world, we live in paradise. We are not content. There you are content with what you have. And that makes your paradise. Yes. You see, as I said, these people, like Aim alayhi salam, they carry the majesty of God with them. If they come and visit you, they somehow put the grace on you in a way that would elevate you to great degrees. Okay? So, in the same way that when you say through Ahlul Bayt, through what? Through their guidance, isn't it? They have told us things, and we have followed it, and therefore we get the grace of Allah. This would help, of course. And in Barzakh, the more you have followed, the more you would have that attachment. And then on the Day of Judgment, it would appear as Shafa'ah and these things. So, every soul, actually, A'imma alayhi salam have come, this is very, very important, I want to emphasize this, have come to establish our direct link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't think that they have come as intermediaries. They have come to tell us, okay, come to us and tell us what you want. We take it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the case, of course. They have come to establish our direct link to Allah. And however, that is made possible by us following what they say. Otherwise, the link is not established. So yes, the direct link is the most important link. Yes. Someone else? Yeah. It's all growth. It's all growth there. Of course,
as we leave this world, we are set on a journey to the final stage, which is meeting with God, and we have to grow for that. And after that, when we go to paradise, the real growth starts there. However, the point is that the levels are fixed. When you are stationed in a level, because everyone is growing at the same time, you never can catch the person who is above you. You can catch their station, okay? But as soon as you reach their station, they are in a higher station. You never can catch them. But you all move towards growth together. Yes. No, in the same way that in this world we turn towards Allah or turn away from Allah, and that determines our attitude. When we have made our shakala, the structure of our soul, when we go to that world, we cannot change it. If we turn away from Allah in this world, we turn away from Him in that world as well. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
What about if you make a sincere intention of doing something good, but circumstances don't allow you to exercise it? How would that be useful?
The hadith tells us that Allah would reward you for that, and that means that it would affect your soul. Something you want to do and you cannot do it is different from something that you want to do but you control yourself not doing it. There's a difference here. So if not being able to do it is due things out of your control, that is regarded as an action. But if it's due to your control, then that's not regarded as an action. Yes?
So how will the prayers of those who are living for the deceased benefit the soul? I mean, in part of the raise their level, or
yes, it's, well, the tradition says it's just like the food that reaches them. It nourishes them, and the soul will become somehow more satiated. Some souls are starving there. Some souls are more satiated there. So these are sort of a spiritual food which reaches the soul there. Yeah. Okay. Inshallah, see you next week. In the middle range, Barzakh.